So, dear friends, looking at Psalm 23 this morning, and something that's a common experience in our lives is fear, isn't it? We all fear certain things, and I know the one thing I fear is spiders. Not so much daddy long legs, but more of the big house spiders, the big black ones that look at you and smile and run under a sofa and don't come out. And of course your mind doesn't rest, does it? You've always got that thought in your mind of where's that spider going? When's he going to come out? And you don't want to go to sleep until you found him, because he might crawl on your face during the night. But actually, more lately, the mind has been worse by that, because of course we found these false widow spiders in our house, and they were nesting underneath our dining table, our dining room. Thankfully I managed to get a few out, but I've still got a sneaky suspicion that there's one in there. But fear, there's the fear of spiders. Other people have different fears. I know Lisa has a fear of the dentist, because when she was young she had problems with her teeth. And I think back then the dentists weren't as nice as they are these days. Even the injections don't hurt these days, do they? Back in those days I think the injections hurt. So we all have different fears, don't we? And some people have fears of confined spaces. And I have a certain fear about going into the city. I don't particularly like the city very much. I prefer the countryside. Quiet life. Some people don't like big towns, do they? Some people don't like the large amount of people. But there are other fears, and there are fears in the land. There are fears, especially these days, of the standards that we're in. You know, the government and the laws that they are passing. We have fears about our children and growing up in this land. I know I certainly fear for my daughter, seeing some of the stuff that's around. But there's a series that we like watching, The Pirates of the Caribbean. And in one of these series, there's a character called Davy Jones. And Davy Jones, of course, we all know the story. If you die at sea, you go to Davy Jones' locker. Well, Davy Jones... He's played by a very talented actor, but one of his lines in that is, "Do you fear death?" And that is the biggest fear, isn't it? The biggest fear for us is, do we fear death? And Shakespeare said in Hamlet, he said, "It is that unknown country from whose bourn no traveller returns, and it puzzles the will." So we look at Psalm 23, and Christians are described as sheep, aren't they? We are sheep. And there are all kinds of sheep. There are bully sheep that you get picked on. I was picked on in school once, a long time ago, and I remember that bully sheep very well. There are sheepish sheep. Sheep who go through their existence hiding underneath a rock. There are vulnerable sheep. And then, of course, there are sheep that are prone to wander. And we're all prone to wander, aren't we? But and the question, of course, is, will we die? Of course we're going to die. We're dying creatures. This body won't last forever. But the wonderful thing is, there's a shepherd, isn't there? That's the wonderful thing. The Lord is my shepherd. And we look at the picture there, and we see that he is a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He looks after his sheep. He keeps us, doesn't he? He keeps us, and he loves us. And it says, if we read through, as we read through this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." We do notice that he looks after us, and he looks after our needs, doesn't he? He looks after our needs, and it's very important that we notice that it's not our wants, it's our needs. That's a big difference. That we need to. He looks after our needs. He brings us to quiet waters, doesn't he? In times of our life, he brings us to. He guides us in paths of righteousness. Where is it? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. So he blesses us in righteousness. He gives us in our life places of peace. And then we'll all come to that valley of the shadow. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. The fear of death. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. For you are with me. And then if we look at this first bit, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we notice that when we come to that valley, he transforms that valley for us, doesn't he? He's with us, he's with his sheep in the valley. And these days, there's often a term that we use, being called a wimp. It's never liked to be called a wimp. And the Lord is definitely not a wimp. He doesn't desert us. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't abandon his sheep, like so many people do abandon friends, family, when times of trouble come. The first time of trouble, he doesn't abandon us. He sticks with us. He is our shepherd. He is a loving God, isn't he? He's a loving God. He laid down his life for his sheep. He gave it all. There is no greater love. And the greatest consolation for going into the valley of the shadow of death is that he is with us. Wonderful. He is with us. And let's have a look at the word shadow, because that word is very significant. Valleys are usually very dark, aren't they? We go to Switzerland. We have been to Switzerland quite a lot. I always remember as a child visiting gorges, and there's one very famous walk that is from Zermatt, where the Matterhorn is. Wonderful, beautiful mountain. And there's a walk that you do, and it's through the valley where the gorges are. And those valleys are dark places, overhanging rocks. It was true back in the times of King David that there were those sort of valleys, gorges there. And of course, that's where lions and wolves and bears and nasty things used to lurk. They're dangerous places. You could lose your foothold and you could fall into that valley. So there's a general picture of the dangers of life, that through that valley we have dangers. We're in a world of suffering, aren't we? But coming through that valley, the ultimate picture is facing death. Facing death. How would you face death? There's a question for you. Question for you this morning. How would you face death? And you know, the shepherd makes a big difference, doesn't he? The shepherd makes the difference, because he directs us through that valley. He accompanies us. It's wonderful, isn't it? Knowing that you're not alone. You are with me. Wonderful words. You are with me. David had assurance there, didn't he? He had assurance of those words. We all have to go there. We all have to go to the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us have lived good lives. Some of us have lived healthy lives. We've enjoyed good things. We've enjoyed material blessings. We've enjoyed his creation, haven't we? Some people have seen some wonderful things in his creation, like the Niagara Falls and the Grand Canyon. I know a story of someone who was converted just by seeing the Grand Canyon. And that in itself is a wonderful testimony, isn't it? We've enjoyed spiritual blessings, great spiritual blessings through this life. Other of us have enjoyed, haven't enjoyed, we've had poor health, we've had sickness. But even the strong, we will see, will come to that valley. Even the strong. It lay ahead for King David. He writes this, and there was a time when King David went into battle and his strength left him, and he was up against the son of Goliath, I think, my memory serves me, and he had to be rescued. He had to be rescued by his officers, and they banned him from going into battle on his own again. Well, they banned him from battle. So we look at King David, and there he was. He was strong, but dear friends, his strength left him. He was a king, but he couldn't stop death coming. Let's look at Psalm 49 and verse 14, and in that Psalm 49 verse 14, like sheep they are destined for the grave, and death will feed on them. That's a very clear picture of life, isn't it? That we all have to come to the valley of the shadow of death. And it's very sobering if we're not in Christ. Very sobering. Now, one of the things I remember as growing up as a child, it still tickles me actually, is we used to go grave hunting. Especially in Switzerland. I know Dad's smiling. These relic hunters. It was much like that, but it was grave hunting for famous people. We used to do that. We used to look around, I think, because there were lots of, obviously, famous people who lived in Switzerland, especially around the sort of Geneva area. I know we visited the grave of Charlie Chaplin, David Niven, I remember, Audrey Hepburn. But there was one place that I remember very well, and that was visiting the grave of Richard Burton. And there was nothing on his gravestone apart from his name and the date, which is very interesting. But as we walked into the graveyard, there was a sign above the graveyard, and it said in French, "Ici égalité," which means here, equality. Everyone is equal. And there's a time coming, isn't there, for everyone. And the big question is, are you safe? Are you safe? It's a very, very big question. And this is the most important question you can be asked. Is, are you safe? And just because you're young doesn't mean this isn't for you. Because the young die, don't they? I know we're in an age where we live longer. We have, a very good health system, even though we moan about it. we still have a very good health system. I mean, think if you lived in America, the health system is very expensive, even for small treatments. So we are blessed. We're blessed in this land. But we do live in an age where we're living longer. Cleanliness is very much sought on these days, isn't it? I come from a family, especially on Dad's side, of people who lived very long. Think of my grandma. She was nearly 91, I think. She was 91, yeah. And she had sisters as well, and I think they were all at a very good age. I think the oldest one lived till 98, 99. She was quite a woman. and of course, some people don't look their age, do they? They look younger than they actually are. But the question, it still remains, young people die. I had a friend who I went to school with, and tragically a few years ago he died. He was only 28. He died of something wrong with his heart. I can't remember what it was now. But he left a family behind, young wife, young children. I remember a few months ago now, I was travelling with my director, and we were on the M23, heading to the M25, and there was a blockage in the road, so we pulled up. The traffic was standstill, and then traffic was standstill on the other side, Of course, wondering in your mind what's going on. Anyway, I found out in the news later that two teenage girls have lost their lives with a lorry going into the back of the car. Two French teenage girls. So young people die, don't they? We think of famous people because, you know, obviously when they die, it's all over the news, isn't it? We think of Michael Jackson. He was still young. He was 50, I think. 40 or 50. He died of you know, tragic causes, really, of painkillers. Heath Ledger was another famous actor who died very young, only in his 30s. So death comes to young people as well as old, doesn't it? So let's think on that. And then there's two things that I want to bring out of this passage this morning, in Psalm 23. And the first thing is... the first thing involved here is the whole matter of the non-Christian and the matter of separation from God, because if we're separated from God and body and soul, then we're separated for all eternity, aren't we? And we're separated, why? Because we're separated because of sin. We're separated from God because of sin for the non-Christian, and for the Christian that should make us weep. It should make us weep and think of all our friends and family who don't know the Lord Jesus. And they're heading to a lost eternity, an empty eternity, with darkness, no future. And the Lord have mercy on those who don't know him. I remember flying back from a business trip once in Spain. And I think always in the back of your mind you think, what if the engine fails? Or what if we go down? And the question in the back of your mind is, will I be able to witness to these people as the plane goes down? What sort of feedback will I receive? In these days, people might shout at you. You don't know. I mean, facing death is a serious thing. I remember one story. I know his second name was Harper, I can't remember his first name, but when the Titanic went down, he swam to people in the water. I think he gave up his life jacket, and he swam from people to people telling them about the gospel. And that's a wonderful testimony, isn't it? I remember vividly, and we all remember vividly, September the 11th, 2001. And I remember it was my first job, and I can remember sitting in the gym. I was a gym instructor back then, and I remember sitting in the gym and looking at the television and shocked at what I was seeing in front of me. And I actually saw the second plane hit the second tower. So, you know, how many people went to work that day and thought that they were going home to their families and loved ones in that trade centre that evening? That was tragic. 2,977 victims that day, and 19 hijackers also lost their lives. Two, I think it was four planes, and both trade centres and the Pentagon was hit. And then, of course, local to home, we had the 7/7 bombings of 2005, where 52 people lost their lives. So what does this mean for the Christian? The separation of God, they come to the valley without the shepherd. They come to the valley without the shepherd. And being overwhelmed by death is a terrible thing. No help. So the shepherd makes all the difference, doesn't he? He makes all the difference. And if you're a Christian, you're a Christian because of the shepherd. Because he stepped in. Because he saved you. Wonderful. Wonderful. He came and he went to death for you. He put himself on the tree in order that you shouldn't know the horrors and the pains of death. Wonderful. What a wonderful Saviour we have. And then notice that King David, he writes here, in the valley of the shadow of death. It's not just a valley of death. It's the shadow of death. And why? Because for the Christian, it's only a shadow. Isn't that wonderful? It's only a shadow. And you have that picture in the back of your head of Peter Pan. And I always love that story of Peter Pan chasing his shadow. Of course, we know that's fiction. He couldn't grab hold of it. Because you can't grab hold of your shadow. A shadow is an object. And the sun shines on that object and creates a shadow. So that's a picture we have. And of course, the shadow in the valley is on the path. But for the Christian, the way is clear. It's wonderful, isn't it? The way is clear because it's only a shadow. And it's a great picture, isn't it? A shadow of a lion can't bite you, can it? A shadow of a lion can't bite you. So there is no harm whatsoever. No harm. And that's wonderful. Wonderful. And I think Spurgeon said, he said that death for the Christian is not an enemy, but a friend. A porchway to a door of eternal bliss. Wonderful. Spurgeon said that death for the Christian is not an enemy, but a friend. A porchway to a door of eternal bliss. But for the world, death is an enemy. But for the Christian, death is a friend. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. So the shepherd dealt with it. And in 2 Timothy, and verse 2 Timothy, verse, 2 Timothy 1, sorry, verse 10. It says, now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The wonderful words. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of shadows if we are a Christian this morning. And then the second point then is fear. Fear is futile, isn't it? Futile. I had a little look at this word. And what does futile mean? Futile means ineffective, useless. Wonderful. I like this one. Incapable of producing any result. Incapable. But before we look at fear, we have to go back slightly, because every word in Scripture has a meaning, doesn't it? That's why we mustn't skip anything. And the words I would like us to look at is, even though I walk. I walk is a very, very powerful word in this. In the context of fear, you wouldn't walk, would you? You'd run. We'd all run. I like playing paintball. But there's another game called Airsoft, and it's actually played with plastic BBs. These little ball-bearing bullets. So it's slightly more painful than BBs. And the rules say that you shouldn't run, especially, you know, inside because of health and safety reasons. But of course you do. You run. Why do you run? Because you run because you're afraid you're going to get shot. The fear of getting shot. So, you know, why? Because it hurts. But we walk. And we walk through. Why? Because the shepherd is walking with you. It's wonderful, isn't it? We don't run because we have nothing to fear. Christian, you're foolish if you wander away from the shepherd. We are foolish if we wander, because that leads to all sorts of problems, doesn't it? If we wander away from the shepherd, we must walk close to him. We have bullies at school, as I've already said, but if we walk close to the shepherd, we won't come across bullies. We will be able to combat bullies. And if you turn to Psalm 56... just a few pages on. In Psalm 56, In verse 3 it says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Wonderful, isn't it? When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? So that's wonderful, isn't it? David wrote those words. Also, we must walk carefully. And I always have thoughts in the back of my head of John Marshall and Dad saying, we must be very careful. Very careful. And that's a very good phrase, isn't it? Life is full of dangers. We must watch and pray lest we fall into temptation. And the Lord Jesus said in the garden to the disciples, doesn't he? Watch and pray. And then they became overcome by fear and they ran. So we must watch and pray. And may we overcome our fear. There's a good story for that. And that's the first time that Lisa experienced Dad's driving. We were in Switzerland and the hairpin bends. And of course Lisa didn't know that we drive quite quick, I guess. But we drive to the speed limit, we drive safely, but these hairpins, you know, we like driving them. And of course she was a little bit afraid of that. So that was her first experience of fear. But we must walk carefully, mustn't we? We must walk carefully. We must live life carefully. There's dangers in this godless world, isn't there? Many dangers. And anyone who isn't a Christian, it's only the mercy of God that keeps them alive. Next, we look at walking thoughtfully through the valley. We're in days where people don't think, aren't we? They just don't think at all. People end up in false religions because they don't ask questions. They don't think for themselves. And that's a very, very strong danger. We look back. We need to look back, don't we? We need to look back at our own lives. We need to look back at how the Lord has led us and dealt with us over the years. I was talking to Joyce last week and she was saying how the Lord had led her through all her life. And again, Guineva this morning, in how she was led and guided to the place where she's living now. And it's wonderful, isn't it? So we must look back. We must learn from our mistakes. We must learn from what the Lord has guided us through. It's very important, isn't it, that we should do that. All the way, we sang, all the way my Saviour leads me. And he delivers us from dangers, and we have blessed times. We can learn. We can learn from our past. So there you are in the valley of the shadow, and you can look back. You can look back at your blessings. You can look back at how the Lord has blessed you, how he has guided you. And another song that we sing is, I am weak, but thou art mighty. So he guides us, doesn't he? He guides us every step of the way. And then, of course, we also need to look where we're going. We need to. We don't keep our head to the ground. We don't keep our nose to the floor. We need to look where we're going. And there's a hymn. I can't remember how it starts, but it's lift your eyes, you sons of light. Zion City is in sight. Yes, that's it. That's it. And people are utterly thoughtless, aren't they? They don't lift their eyes. They have their heads down, their thoughts on this life, material things. Sometimes material things can get the better of us. Even Christians, we can get bogged down, can't we, with material things and things of this earth. We must lift our eyes. There will still be dangers. Of course there will still be dangers ahead. But if we look and we keep our eyes on him, we will look on our destination, won't we? We will look to that heavenly land. And thinking of Pilgrim's Progress, and Christian walking along the way, and a crowd of men running towards him saying, "Head back, there are lions in the way, there are lions in the way." And of course, Christian's sort of concerned for a while, but he's come a far way, he's come a long way, he doesn't want to head back. So he heads on, and he looks and sees the lions. Well, the lions are on either side. As he notices and he gets closer, he notices the lions are chained. So that's wonderful. He can walk right through the middle. He can walk through the middle. So he avoids the lions. He's unharmed. They are powerless, aren't they? All they can do is roar. And that's the devil, isn't it? The only thing he can do is roar at us. Wonderful. And we will sing our final hymn in Heavenly Love Abiding. In one of the verses there it says, "The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me. And can I be dismayed?" Wonderful. "He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. I will fear no evil," is the next bit, isn't it? "I will fear no evil." And why? Because we're walking with the shepherd. We'll feel evils. We will feel evils in this life. Sin and separation from God. And of course the sin is first. And the separation from God is because of the sin. Those are the evils. Those are the evils we will feel. But the world is full of suffering for us. And evils for the people of the world look on sufferings, they look on trials, pain, sorrows, dangers, sickness as evil. But of course, trials like that for the Christian, well, they're not evil, are they? They're good for us. They're the Lord moulding us, they're the Lord shaping us. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And they can be great blessings, trials, can't they? Can be great blessings because in those experiences, we know that the shepherd draws near. He draws near to us. And the experience of him is more wonderful. It's more wonderful when he draws near, isn't it? We can have great trials. We can have great sorrows. And often, the blessings are the greatest. The greatest blessings. I can remember losing my son. And that was a great trial. I can always remember the Lord flooding me with love through it. And as we look back, we know that the Lord has guided us and blessed us every step of the way. He gives us great peace, doesn't he? He gives us great peace. Let's look at, as we close, Psalm 121. And I love this psalm. Psalm 121, and again another psalm of David, and I lift, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the important bit. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, now and forevermore. Wonderful. And the great thing there is the promise. The promise. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you. That's wonderful, isn't it? It's a promise. So when you do come to death, and we will come to death, you will have nothing to fear because He is with you. He is with you. If you're a Christian this morning, He is with you. And if you're not Christian, then come to Him. Because come before it's too late. You're young, you're old, death will come. The valley of the shadow will come. And mindful of that, we think in Hebrews, and chapter 9 and verse 27 should be a very familiar passage to us. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. And, dear friends, if you're not in Christ, that judgment you'll be facing alone. So if we need to come to him, come to the Saviour, come to him because he loves you, he wants you to come, he bids you to come. Come to him. God bless you this morning. Amen.